Welcome to Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd, Dreamweaver. If you've always wanted to know a bit more about travel, whether for work or pleasure, you'll want to stay tuned for the next hour. Lindsay has over 20 years of worldly experience and is ready to make your next trip the best trip possible. Now, here is your host, Lindsay T. Boyd.
Hello and welcome this sunny July 1st, 2015. Today we're going to talk a little bit about traveling through Europe. You know, when you go to Europe, it's always interesting to see the differences in the way people travel in Europe versus in the United States. And one of the things that I have always found that is phenomenal is the train system throughout Europe. Today, we have with us Dan Gunther. He's the Regional Sales Director of Rail Europe. Now, Dan has over about 30 years worth of experience in the industry. He started covering the travel industry in 1983, working with European vacation packages for American Airlines. And then he expanded on and moved over to Rail Europe. Currently, he specializes in European train travel, having just celebrated his 19th year with Rail Europe. Congratulations on that, Dan.
Oh, thanks so much, Lindsay. I appreciate that.
He's traveled all over Europe by train and probably by plane and can give you an idea of what he believes are some of the best ways to travel throughout Europe. So we're going to move forward here a little bit and ask Dan to just tell us a little bit about his background and how he got into travel.
Well, Dan. Thanks, Lindsay. I'm really happy to be on your program today. Grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and if anybody's ever been to Cincinnati, Ohio, there are no mountains and there are no ocean there. And so I just kind of had this yearning for travel, and I thought at the time the best way to do that would be to try to get on with one of the major airlines at the time. American Airlines had a reservations office in Cincinnati. I originally applied there and was not selected as a reservations agent there. But a good friend of mine who I told did get hired at the time, so I was, of course, very disappointed but happy for him. And just a few years later, he relocated to the Dallas office of American Airlines. At that time, just 2 years later, he gave me a call and said, American Airlines here in Dallas is hiring. You should apply. So I did. I didn't let them know, though, that I lived in Cincinnati, because at the time they were only hiring local people from the state of Texas. And I got hired. And that was the start of my career in travel, which was in 1983. I moved from Cincinnati to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and started off in general reservations, airline reservations for American Airlines. And then, unfortunately, 6 months later, got laid off from the company, because then there was a cutback. But got hired back, and I guess, as they say, the rest is history. I moved from reservations into, at the time, which was called American Airlines Vacations, and American Airlines had its own in-house tour packages to Caribbean, Hawaii, places like that. At the time, they didn't fly to Europe, so they didn't offer any packages. But when they did start European vacation packages, they were looking for people to work at the corporate offices and developing these packages, and I got asked to come over there because I had traveled to Europe a few times. Was very fortunate to travel for a three-month period two times on what's known as the EURAIL Pass. Today, it's called the EURAIL Global Pass. And from there, I decided then to move on to Rail Europe after 13 years with American Airlines, mainly because American Airlines is a very large company at the time. They had 100,000 local employees, and I was interested in working for a smaller company such as Rail Europe. And as it turns out, the move was something that worked out very well for me. The company only has about 200 employees, and it's been a refreshing change and something that I've enjoyed, as you mentioned before, for the last 19 years.
Now, when you look at traveling in Europe, I noticed, having traveled there a few times myself, I note that in each country they have their own, it seems to be, nationalized train system, except in Switzerland, which it seems to me has a bunch of individual train companies. How do you, if I'm a traveler and I'm going to go to Europe, mm-hmm. and I want to do Switzerland and France and Germany and all, mm-hmm. Is it better for me to buy airplane tickets from Paris to Frankfurt to Munich, or is there a better way to do that by train?
Well, Lindsay, you're right. Each European country does operate its own rail system. And as you mentioned, as an example, in Germany, it's called Deutsche Bahn. In Italy, it's called Trenitalia. We refer to those as the state-run railroads. And the good news is that those state-run railroads not only operate rail services within their country, but in most cases, they do cross borders into neighboring countries. I mentioned earlier that the first time I went to Europe back in 1980 was on a Ural Pass. At the time, the Ural Pass was probably about 15 countries. Today, the Ural Pass is 28 countries. And going back to your question about how do you buy tickets or passes for train travel, or how do you get around Europe if you want to go to multiple countries? Well, the good news is that the Ural Global Pass covers 28 countries, so you don't have to worry about the fact that the individual countries do operate their own rail systems, because a pass like the Ural Global Pass covers all of those countries. So you can easily cross borders between countries on the different rail lines seamlessly. Of course, though, for a lot of people, 28 countries is too much, and we offer a wide variety of passes for as little as one country, or the next level goes to two countries, then we go to four countries, and then to 28 countries. So easily interchangeable to travel between the different countries on one pass, a country pass, or a two-country pass, or a four-country pass, or 28-country pass. And just to go back one step further, you mentioned that in Switzerland, they do have some private rail lines. That is true. However, if you are traveling on a Swiss travel pass, which is the national pass for train travel in Switzerland, all of those train services, even the private rail lines, are covered by the pass.
I find that really, really interesting. One of the things I always had a question about is I had noticed when I looked at a pass once before that the pass will get me to London, but it won't get me around England. But I think I can use it in Ireland. Is that true?
So it depends on the type of pass you're purchasing. There is no pass that covers the continent of Europe and the UK. Now, the Ural Global Pass, however, does cover the continent of Europe. And then there are bonus features that are associated with every European rail pass. And depending upon the bonus feature that's associated with the pass you're purchasing, it may allow you to travel, as an example, between countries that may not even cover actual train travel. So as an example, if you buy the Ural Global Pass, one of the bonus features is being able to take the overnight ferry services between Ireland and France. So therefore, you can travel between those two countries based on the bonus feature of that specific pass. But going back to your question about London. London has never actually been a part of any multiple country pass. There was at one time a France-Britain pass, but that has since gone away. And so if you are wanting to, as an example, fly into London and travel around Britain by train, you have a couple different options. You have what's called the BritRail pass, which covers England, Scotland, and Wales. Then you also have the BritRail England pass, which covers England only. And new this year, we have what's called the Scottish Highlands pass, which, again, is breaking down the individual countries for travel, making it more economical for the traveler. And a reason being is because in the past, there was only the BritRail pass, which covered England, Scotland, and Wales. But now that more and more people are repeat travelers to Europe, the railroads figured out that, okay, Mr. Jones going to only England doesn't really want to pay for a pass that covers England, Scotland, and Wales. So now they have separated these passes out to give the customer more choices, therefore giving them a better value to travel by train in those country or countries.
Okay. That's great. I know that I have looked at airfares, and this is something that you probably aren't totally aware of, and maybe you are, but when I've looked at airfares going into Europe, I find that if you fly into Heathrow, that the taxes that you pay for a airline ticket end up making it more expensive to fly into Heathrow than to, say, fly into Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I noticed on my last trip over was that the difference between going to Heathrow and going into Amsterdam and Paris was about $300.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in my mind, that was almost a third of a pass or a half of a pass, depending on what kind of pass you're getting.
Sure.
And so I said, well, why don't I fly into Paris, get a pass, then pay the little bit to fly to take the Channel train into England, and I actually ended up saving money.
Sure, sure. Well, that makes complete sense. And of course, savvy travelers today have access to so many resources to research airfares. And in that particular case, you're right. I mean, the taxes are quite higher when you're flying into the UK. Nowadays, with the dollar being quite strong against the euro, you will see that reflected in the individual tickets as well as the European rail passes for train travel throughout Europe, including Eurostar, the Channel Tunnel train, which you took, which is, of course, the fastest way between London, Paris, and Brussels, or vice versa. And the beauty of Eurostar, as well as other high-speed services in Europe, is that you can go from London to Paris in just 2 hours, 15 minutes, or vice versa. London to Brussels is under 2 hours. And remember, you only spend 18 minutes in the tunnel. So for any of your listeners out there who are claustrophobic at all, you are only in the tunnel 18 minutes. It makes it a very good value to travel between those three cities, as well as time savings.
Now, if you're taking a train versus taking, let's say, Ryanair or one of the discount air things, can train travel actually be cheaper than buying a discount airline ticket?
Well, it depends on, of course, the city pair that you're traveling between. You will find that, as most people know, with any discount airline, whether it's Ryanair, in the UK and going on to the continent, or here in the United States, such as Spirit Airlines or some of these other airlines. I just read in the newspaper today that JetBlue is going to start charging for luggage. The beauty of train travel is that it is city center to city center, which means, as an example, if you're staying in London for a few nights and you want to go to Paris, if you take Eurostar, the Channel Tunnel train, let's say you depart, you want to go on a train departing from London around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're staying in a central London hotel, you can actually arrive at the train station 1 hour before departure. So you could easily leave your central London hotel for a 2 o'clock train around 12:45 in the afternoon. Have plenty of time for the check-in process and board the train and on your way to Paris. Of course, you're going to arrive in the city center also. So, again, not arriving out an outlying airport. Remember that airlines like Ryanair do not use the major airports throughout Europe. They use secondary airports. Most cases, those are even further out than the major airports, such as Charles de Gaulle or London Heathrow Airport, as an example, or London Gatwick Airport.
Wow,
so not only do you have the savings for not having to pay to get out to the outlying airport because you are already in the city center and leaving from the city center, but when you arrive in your destination, you only have the short subway ride or taxi to your hotel versus coming from the airport and then arriving in the city center at your hotel. And of course, let's not forget about all the other additional expenses there are with flying, taxes and possible seat reservation costs and baggage fees, so on and so forth. You have none of those additional costs when you're traveling on individual tickets for train travel throughout Europe.
Okay, Dan, that's a really great synopsis. We're going to go to a break right now. When we come back, we'll continue along that line of conversation.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Weave your own dream vacation or trip using our Dreamweaver services. Our job is to plan your amazing travel experience from start to finish, saving you the hassle of making arrangements yourself. From tea times, restaurant reservations, cruise or airline tickets, cars, hotels, and group accommodations, to ensuring special needs such as handicap or disability access is available, the Dreamweaver desk is designed to accommodate your travel requests. The delivery of completely customized luxury sports, lifestyle, and cruise travel packages is job one. We pride ourselves on delivering top-quality travel packages that take the worry out of travel, allowing our guests to enjoy special moments that will last a lifetime. Currently, our high-demand, limited-availability trips include the Summer Games in Rio 2016, the World Cup of Rugby in England September 2015, and much more. What are you waiting for? Contact us today to get started on your once-in-a-lifetime experience. Call 877-DREAM-1. That's 877-373-2661. Or go to www.dreamweaver.com for our special pricing packages. That's 877-DREAMM-1 or dreamweaver.com. Remember, it's Dream with two M's.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are enjoying Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd, Dreamweaver. To reach our show live, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Dreamweaver with two M's at TamandaRayTravel.com. Now, back to Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd.
Hi, welcome back to Travel Time with Lindsay Boyd. If you weren't with us before the break, we have Dan Gunther here from Rail Europe, and we're discussing the different ways to get around Europe and what it's like taking a train throughout Europe and whether or not it's a value for you or not. Now, just before the break, we were discussing the difference between airline flights, taking the cheap airlines, let's say in a Southwest type or a Spirit Air type in the U.S., but in Europe it's a Ryanair, a Air Berlin, or some of the other discount airlines, and was there any real savings? And one of the things that we noted was that the trains will take you directly into the city, right into the main heart of where you want to go and what you want to see, where the airlines themselves take you to airports that have cheaper landing fees, so they're a little further outside of town, they're off the beaten path, and you end up spending additional money and time getting back and forth between the two places. He had mentioned some check-in times for trains and planes, and one of the things that I have always liked about taking a train in Europe is that if the train leaves at 5:45 and I got to the train station at 5:40 and I already had my pass in hand, I'd run right up to that train, climb in just before it rolls out of the station, and have no issues whatsoever. So we're going to go on a little bit with that. And Dan, could you tell us a little bit more why it's really cost-effective to have a train pass? And could you tell us a little bit of what's the difference between having to buy an individual ticket and what a train pass will do for you?
Sure. Well, just going back to what we were talking about before, just briefly with regards to flying versus taking the train, the other thing that we didn't even touch on, and we could even talk a little bit more about it later, is the fact that there are so many new high-speed services throughout Europe. And, of course, as you mentioned, if you are taking a train in Europe, the train leaves at 5:45, you could arrive at literally up to 5 minutes before departure, or whatever time you're comfortable in arriving at the station, hop on the train and you're on your way. I do want to point out, though, because the example we were speaking about before, Eurostar, the Channel Tunnel train, I did mention that you need to be there about 1 hour before departure. And the reason being is because Eurostar, the Channel Tunnel train, is the only rail service in Europe in which you have to go through security procedures and passport control. So that's why we do recommend that the travelers arrive about 1 hour before departure. But with train travel, of course, you have the high-speed services and you don't experience the air traffic control delays that you might experience if you were flying throughout Europe. Moving on to pass versus individual tickets. This is always the number one question for anybody thinking about going to Europe and traveling by train. Of course, this all depends on what your itinerary is. Our general rule of thumb is if you are going to three or more cities within a country, you would want to consider buying the national pass of that country. So as an example, if you were flying into Paris and you're spending a few days there, and then from there you wanted to go, let's say, to Marseille in the south of France, or and then you wanted to go to Avignon in the heart of Provence, and from there to Strasbourg in eastern France, then you might want to consider, because you are going to three or more cities, ending back in Paris, the France rail pass. But again, our general rule of thumb is three or more cities. Think about buying the national pass for that specific countries. Anything less than that, buying individual tickets. But we always say the best way to know what the best value is for your train travels in Europe is to do the math. On our website, you have the option to search for fares and schedules. So as an example, that itinerary I was just talking about, you can search for point-to-point ticket fares to see what the cost of those individual tickets are. You can add those up, and then you can look at the cost of the France Rail Pass to see what is the better value. And, of course, it also depends on how flexible the traveler wants to be, because if you're buying individual tickets, 9 times out of 10, those tickets will be for a specific train, specific date, specific time, and, of course, including a specific seat for that journey or for that itinerary. With the France Rail Pass, the National Pass of France, it is an open pass for X number of days within a 1 or 2 month period in second or first class, depending upon your choice of travel. Most countries offer what is referred to as a saver version of a pass. That means that two or more people traveling together at all times can get a discount on their France Rail Pass. And, of course, that gives you that flexibility to go to any cities within the country you want, X number of days. You could go to X number of cities in one day if you wanted to. So let's say you want to go from Paris to, let's say, to Dijon in the heart of the Burgundy area and spend 3 hours there doing some wine tasting and then get back on the train that day and continue on to Avignon in the heart of Provence. You could do that on one of your days of your France Rail Pass. The one thing that you do need to remember is what I mentioned before about high-speed trains in Europe. When passes were first introduced for train travel in Europe, there were relatively no high-speed trains. What that meant to the traveler is if you were on a rail pass and you wanted to travel around Europe, you did not need a seat reservation for a specific train date and time because you could get on the train. Even if the train was full, there were no seats available, you could stand or you could sit in the hallway if you wanted to. However, most trains these days throughout Europe are high-speed trains. And for safety reasons, they do no longer allow people to stand or sit in the hallways on the trains. So therefore, reservations are required. Reservations are at an additional cost in addition to the pass that you're purchasing. And those vary anywhere from $11 up to some cases $30 or $40, and even more if you are buying a sleeping accommodation on an overnight train between two major cities in Europe.
Now, Dan, I hear what you're saying there about the possibility of there being additional charges for a reservation, but aren't most of those high-speed lines, or at least in my experience on most of those high-speed lines, it'll say reservation required for the high-speed trains that are going like at rush hour or at other times when there's a lot of demand for the train.
Sure.
But if you catch a 2 o'clock in the afternoon train, they won't require a reservation. You'll just have to sit in a seat that doesn't have a little sign above it that says that the seat was reserved.
No, I think what you're thinking of is possibly there are some countries that do not require reservations at all. So as an example, if you were traveling on an ICE train, the ICE train in Germany, those mm-hmm. are high-speed trains. They do not require reservations. So in fact, what you are talking about is that you could get on that train and you just take any available unreserved seat. As same goes for Switzerland, although they don't have really high-speed trains in Switzerland, they do not require seat reservations for train travel in Switzerland. But if a specific service requires a seat reservation, such as the TGV trains in France, which all of them do require a reservation, no matter what time of the day you're traveling, if the train requires a reservation, you have to have a seat reservation purchased in advance. And we do sell those in advance on our website on RailEurope.com, or if your customer wants even more flexibility, they can have the pass in hand, travel to Europe, wait till they get to Europe, and buy the seat reservation at the train station when they want to travel on a specific train for a specific date and time.
So then that would give them the flexibility on that date to take the TGV or TGV.
That's right.
On that day and get a reservation, or ask the people at the window mm-hmm. if they really need a reservation for that actual train.
That's true.
I mean, I understand the rule, and you're telling people everything about the rule and the proper way to travel. Mm-hmm. And I'm just want to give people a little hint that if you go to the counter and ask the guy, he might tell you, "Nope, you're not going to need a reservation for this train. Just go ahead and climb on board with your pass."
Sure, sure. The Eurail family of passes, so that's any rail pass that has the name Eurail in front of it, the customer has access to download a timetable. It's an app. It's a free app. And that timetable gives you the schedules. And next to it, as you mentioned before, has a little indication of an R in parentheses that means that that specific train requires a reservation. Also, the schedules that are posted in the train station will also show whether reservations are required to for that specific train or service.
Now, one of the things that I've noted and is the bonuses that come with a train pass are pretty nice. I mean, in some cities, you get to ride, in Germany, you get to ride the local transportation, the S-Bahn, throughout the city for no additional charge. You're just using your pass for that day. Or you can do other travel. I know for myself, I used to like to cheat and take a train at night so that I didn't have to pay for a hotel room and go from Paris to Berlin on the train at night and then just sleep in the seat.
Sure. I've done that many a times.
So if you're a student, let's say you're graduating from college and you want to go and when I was younger, it would be backpack through Europe.
Sure.
You could still kind of backpack. I mean, you carry your backpack, but I think the expedient way would be you can see more, stop at more places and all if you bought a Eurail pass. Now, tell me, for students, what kind of pass do they get?
Well, if a student, and keep in mind, we call it actually a youth version of the Eurail pass or any passes, because some students could be 50 years old. So so we call it a youth version of a pass, and the youth version of the Eurail Global Pass, which covers 28 countries, or the Eurail Select Pass, which is any four neighboring countries, the traveler must be under age 25 on first day of travel. That pass is sold in second class, and for those listeners who are not familiar with the difference between first and second class seating on trains throughout Europe are 2x2 seating. That's two seats on one side, two on the other. And those seats are about the same size as a coach domestic airline seat. First class is always 2x1 seating. That's two seats on one side, one on the other. Those seats are about the same size as a domestic first class airline seat. Obviously, with smaller seats, second class, you are going to have more seats in the compartment itself versus first, where there are fewer seats. And then, of course, if they are under age 25 on first day of travel, they can qualify for the youth price for the Eurail Global or Eurail Select Pass. It is sold in second class only, although I have to say this year is the first year Eurail has introduced a first class youth Eurail Global Pass, too. So That makes it nice for a youth traveler, college graduate who may want to meet up with their parents, as an example. Parents are traveling in first class, and the youth traveler wants to travel in first class with their parents. They have the option now to buy a first class version of the Eurail Global or Eurail Select Pass.
Well, I think that's a great new addition, considering the fact that if you're a family and you're trying to save on a budget, then if you buy a multiple pass, before you only could buy a multiple pass in first class, and now you have the opportunity to buy multiple passes, move your kids up to first class with a multiple pass. And when I say a multiple pass, I mean where you all travel the same itinerary.
Sure.
But you also have the, it sounds like you also have the availability to let your kids be over in Europe for a week traveling on their own, meet you up for 2 days and travel in first class with you, mm-hmm. and then go on wherever else they want to go without you having to be conjoined in your passes.
Exactly. And also, speaking of those discounts, also new this year, effective January 1st of 2015, up to two children ages 4 through 11 now travel completely free with an accompanied paid adult on the Eurail Global Pass as well as Eurail Select Pass. So, of course, that basically covers all of Europe. The German Rail Pass for 2015, up to two children up to age 16 travel completely free with an accompanied paid adult. Britain has always had a one-child travel free under age 15 with an accompanied paid adult. And Switzerland has always had child travel free policy on the Swiss Travel Pass. So many bonus features, as we were talking about before, available to families who want to travel by train throughout those individual countries or throughout Europe in general.
Wow, that's fantastic. We're going to go to a break here in just a minute and go over the, and when we come back, we're going to talk about more about the advantages of a pass and also some of the new train services in Europe and things like that and why that train travel might be the best thing you ever do.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Weave your own dream vacation or trip using our Dreamweaver services. Our job is to plan your amazing travel experience from start to finish, saving you the hassle of making arrangements yourself. From tea times, restaurant reservations, cruise or airline tickets, cars, hotels, and group accommodations, to ensuring special needs such as handicap or disability access is available, the Dreamweaver desk is designed to accommodate your travel requests. The delivery of completely customized luxury sports, lifestyle, and cruise travel packages is job one. We pride ourselves on delivering top-quality travel packages that take the worry out of travel, allowing our guests to enjoy special moments that will last a lifetime. Currently, our high-demand, limited-availability trips include the Summer Games in Rio 2016, the World Cup of Rugby in England September 2015, and much more. What are you waiting for? Contact us today to get started on your once-in-a-lifetime experience. Call 877-DREAM-1. That's 877-373-2661. Or go to www.dreamweaver.com for our special pricing packages. That's 877-DREAMM-1 or dreamweaver.com. Remember, it's Dream with two M's.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are enjoying Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd, Dreamweaver. To reach our show live, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to Dreamweaver with two M's at TamandaRayTravel.com. Now, back to Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You know, just before the break, we were talking about train travel, and we talked a little bit before that about airline travel and the difference in pricing and stuff like that. And one of the things that our guest Dan mentioned was that it depended on the city pairs that you went to on whether or not it might be cheaper in the airline. But then when you added all the additional things that you do, like the airlines might fly, they're not in the city center. They're outside of town, so you had to come into the city. So your additional cost per person would go up. But just as we got to the break, there was something that was phenomenal that he brought out that you won't find anytime you fly an airline. So if you're with a family, and let's say it's a family of four, and you're flying somewhere, you won't be able to, on the airline, have your kids fly for free. We're on the train, up to two kids on a pass can travel for free. Now, it varies by country, because in Switzerland, it's an unlimited amount of kids. So think about your budget there. Let's say it was $100 to fly, and the pass cost was $110, but you had to pay for four people, that's $400. You only have to pay for two adults, that's $220, and your kids go for free. That's a savings of $180 straight up. And you're still traveling just as fast, spending less time in airports, and just having a better, enjoyable experience because your kids can get up from the seats, they can look out the windows, they can see what's going on. You can eat on board the trains, you can drink on board the trains, and you just get a new experience. It's not like train travel in the U.S. It's much better, and you have high speed and other trains. Now, going on, one of the things I wanted to ask Dan is, tell me a little bit about the new train services in Europe this year.
Sure. And also, Lindsay, I just want to thank you for mentioning the ability to be able to get up and walk around, because one of my favorite things about train travel is the fact that I'm not confined to my seat. I can get up and I can walk around. Even on, you know, the high speed trains that are going almost 200 miles an hour, you can easily get up, walk around, go into the bar car, get something neat, so on and so forth. So that's the one thing I dislike most about flying is, you know, being confined to your seat for X number of hours. Going back to your question, and that was about the bonus features, I believe, right?
Well, the new train services in Europe, too.
Oh, new train service, sorry,
both of
yes.
Those.
And this actually kind of ties into what we were talking about before, about, you know, if it's less expensive to fly versus taking the train. And then we talked about timing, city center to city center. Just to give you an example of a new high-speed service that started about a year and a half ago, Barcelona to Paris. Barcelona to Paris now is 6 hours 20 minutes on a TGV train. So a lot of people would say, wow, 6 hours 20 minutes on a train, that seems like a long time. But door-to-door, if you were to compare Paris, flying from Paris, you're already in the city center to Barcelona, you have to factor in the time to get to the airport, the check-in, the wait, so on and so forth, arriving in Barcelona, getting from the airport back into the city center. And we have done some comparisons with these new high-speed services, such as this new France-Spain service. And it is almost identical travel time door-to-door, 6 hours, 20 minutes. But going back to the question, London to Avignon and the heart of Provence on Eurostar, the Channel Tunnel train, that is now direct rail service. London to Marseille in the south of France, direct service. London to Lyon and the heart of the Rhône-Alpes area. Paris to Frankfurt in just over 3 hours on a TGV train. Also, within Italy, we mentioned before that you have the state-run railroad throughout Europe. Each country has its own railroad, and we refer to those as the state-run railroads. Italy is the first country to have a privately run railroad competing against the state-run railroad. State-run railroad is called Trenitalia. The new privately run railroad is called Italo, spelled I-T-A-L-O. They are a private company competing against Trenitalia on the high-speed rail line. So as an example, Milan, Venice, Florence, Rome, Bologna, Naples, as an example. It is a company that has purchased or spent hundreds of millions of dollars on brand new trains. Those are traveling at almost 200 miles per hour. Very, very nice service. So that's an option for those customers wanting to travel by train specifically in Italy. Please note, though, if you are traveling on a Eurail Italy pass or a multiple country pass that includes Italy, you cannot travel or use your pass on this private rail line, Italo.
Okay. Now, I saw something that you guys are doing, e-tickets now. How does that work?
Well, first of all, I have to say up front that, yes, we do have e-tickets in 6 major countries in Europe. And as you might expect, because each European country is different, each European country has its own rail system. The e-ticketing system is not as uniform as we would like it to be, as you experience when you do fly. Everyone knows what an e-ticket is now when they fly. It's basically you printing your boarding pass out at home, and that's about it. That's all you need, or you can have it on your smartphone. In Europe, it's a little bit different because some of the technology has not reached some of the individual country railroads. So let me review this quickly. We have 3 types of e-ticket for train travel in Europe. The first type, which is, in my opinion, and most people's opinion, the easiest and simplest, is what we refer to as print at home. And that's when you book an individual ticket for train travel, let's say in Spain or in Italy on Trenitalia, the state-run railroad, or Eurostar, the Channel Tunnel train, or in France, you will receive a confirmation from Rail Europe, and with that confirmation will be an attachment, and you print that attachment out on 8.5 by 11 paper, and that is your ticket / boarding pass for train travel on that specific train. So we refer to that as print at home. The second type of e-ticket is what's referred to as print at the station. This is where we send you the confirmation code along with the retrieval instructions. When you arrive in Europe, you go to the train station, to the ticket kiosk. You choose your language, which of course would be English, from the kiosk. You plug in your confirmation code, the ticket prints out, and you're on your way. The print at the station tickets are currently what is available as an e-ticket for train travel in Germany as well as in Britain. And then the third type of e-ticket, and I always like to preface this by saying the Italians like to be just a little bit different, is on Italo, the private rail line there. Those e-tickets are simply the confirmation code only that you travel on. You don't print out any type of ticket in your home or at the station. You have the confirmation code we send to you. You can have it in your smartphone or on your tablet, or you could print the page out if you want, but you just arrive at the station, you get on the train, you take your seat, the conductor comes through, you provide that confirmation code to them along with your passport, and they plug that into their handheld device, and you're on your way.
Okay. Well, you know, that's all really great information. You know, let's give some people an idea of what it would be like in a country. Tell us a little about Swiss and the Swiss trains. We have about 8 minutes or 9 minutes more that you could go on that. Tell us a little about their scenic trains and the benefits of traveling on a Swiss pass versus individual tickets, and maybe even about the chocolate train if you know about it.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, Switzerland is one of my favorite countries to travel by train, and excuse me if I can say that I always like to tell people they're crazy to rent a car for travel in Switzerland, because the Swiss travel system, as it's known, is the best throughout Europe. And I say that because not only can you take a train for efficiency between two major cities within Switzerland, such as their intercity express trains between Zurich and Geneva, as an example, but you can also travel to the top of a town, 10,000-foot mountain, with a discount utilizing your Swiss travel pass. Again, we refer to the Swiss travel pass as the Swiss travel system. And the reason being is because when you buy a Swiss travel pass, not only do you get train travel, and you may recall that I mentioned earlier, Switzerland is one of those countries that does not require seat reservations, with the exception of the scenic trains, which I'll talk a little bit more about in just a moment. So you can freely travel by train throughout Switzerland, no seat reservations required, except for the scenic trains. The Swiss Travel Pass covers train travel. Also, over 473 museums are covered with the Swiss Pass. They have the child travel free policy, so that's unlimited number of children travel free with an accompanied paid adult under age 15. You also get discounts and free travel on mountain railways. So you could go up to Mount Rigi outside of Lucerne, Switzerland, on the cogwheel train that goes up there. You also get your transportation on what are referred to as postal buses, and these are buses that go to smaller, out-of-the-way villages that do not have train service. The lake steamers that cross the lakes in Switzerland. You can arrive in Zurich Airport, get immediately on a train at Zurich Airport, go directly to Lucerne, Switzerland, and from there, you can get on a lake steamer that crosses the Lake of Lucerne to another city within Switzerland. And you can get those schedules all at the same time when you're doing your research.
Now,
go ahead.
Now, basically what you're telling me is that with the Swiss train pass, I can go to museums. I can go with my kids unlimited travel. I can go on ferries across lakes. I can catch buses in different cities. And then there's some scenic trains that we'll be able to get onto. Now, we have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. What are the specific ones that you think would be great for an individual to do?
Well, the number one scenic train in Switzerland is called the Glacier Express. This is probably the most famous one. It is a train that might imply that it's a fast train, but it actually is. Travel time is 8.5 hours if you do the entire journey, which I recommend. No matter what time of the year, you can travel on the Glacier Express. You can either start in St. Moritz, Switzerland, and travel the entire length to Zermatt, Switzerland, very famous for the Matterhorn. And also, just as a side note, Zermatt is one of the 7 car-free villages in Switzerland, so no cars allowed in Zermatt. You can only ride by train. So that would be my ultimate number one train to recommend as a scenic train. Behind that, if you don't have as much time, there is the Bernin Express between St. Moritz and Torino, Italy. That's just 3.5 hours, amazing scenery, but doesn't require that 8.5 hour journey time. There's the Golden Pass line between Montreux and Lucerne, very nice, over the Alps overlooking Lake Geneva through Stade, Switzerland, and into Interlaken or Lucerne, Switzerland. I mean, those probably are the top three. There's one called the Chocolate Train, which you spend the day on the train and you go to the Gruyere cheese factory, as well as the Nestle chocolate factory in Switzerland.
Wow.
So many, many options, and wow, just unlimited choices.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome.
I know we could go on for hours here, and what we're going to have to do is probably invite you back for another day. But it's the end of the day today, and I'd like to thank Dan for being our guest here on the show, and to say we'll be back next week at Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern. If you have any questions about Dan, please go to our website. You'll find his bio there, and you'll be able to find ways to get in contact with him and ask additional questions, or send questions to us by email at the email that's on voiceamerica.com, and we will be able to answer those for you in the future. Thank you for your time today, and we look forward to you coming and listening to us next week at Travel Time with Lindsay Boyd.
Thank you for joining us this week for Travel Time with Lindsay T. Boyd. Be sure to tune in for another edition with the Dreamweaver next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until our next journey together, happy travels!